In our final presentation of Chapter 2 on mutual funds, we took a look at a single mutual fund out of approximately 12,000. And we chose this mutual fund not only because it's actually a pretty good mutual fund, but more importantly because of its length of time that it's been in existence. Over 89 years. Yeah, and there's a few mutual funds that are even predate this mutual fund, if you can believe that. Most, though, that do predate, 1934, have merged with other mutual funds or been purchased by another company, so they restart their history. So that's why we like to look at this one, because of the time that it's been around. So you can click on this little puppy here to see the illustration, but I already have it queued up on the local drive because it just looks better. So click on that to see what we're going to take a look at right now. And this is called a hypothetical illustration or just an illustration. This is something that your broker can do for you. Your mutual fund can do for you. Life insurance companies do it. You have to be licensed to present these. You can't just show them to anyone unless you are licensed. And I happen to be licensed, so I can use them as a teaching tool. FINRA gets a little upset with me, but I show them, hey, I'm just teaching, and they go, okay. Now, these things have all kinds of disclaimers and warnings that nobody reads, but you've probably heard it already. Let's take a look here. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are not past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. Does anybody read this stuff? It was written by lawyers. You know, it's really very useful. If you have insomnia, folks, read an illustration, read a mutual fund prospectus. It will cure your insomnia within two or three pages. But you're supposed to read it. And we talk about prospectuses in the presentation, so you'll hopefully take a look at least one or two, please. I know they're not that bad. You have to dig to find the good information. But this is a mutual fund that has been around since 1927. But then it restarted. Another company took it over, so they restart the investment results in December 31st, 1933. But they start from January 1st, 1934. I don't know. It's a long time ago. So here's all the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. You can. You will lose money depending on what type of investment you invest in. And for some odd reason, I don't know why, go ask the Securities and Exchange Commission, they start with $10,000, as if most people have $10,000 lying around the house. Right. That's why later on you're going to see some investments where you put $100 a month or, you know, $50 a month or whatever. Us working grunts are normally used to invest, how we're normally used to investing. But we're going to choose the A shares. Make sure you've gone through A versus B versus C versus F versus I versus R and all the other different types, realizing that the A shares are the best choice if you want a broker and if, you, of course, you have a long-term perspective. Your broker is going to try to sell you the F or I shares. Watch out. I'm a little bit of a holdout, an old fuddy-duddy, because I think they're the best deal. But, you know, there's two sides to every story, right? Yours and the idiots. So let's start with a $10,000 way back in 1934 in the depths of the Great Recession. And the first few years we did okay, $31,000, but then it up to $19,000. But then it started coming through, and then World War II hit. Wow, what a time that was. And people were afraid, be very afraid. But once World War II was over, the economists were really afraid of a serious recession as the economy retooled out of wartime into peacetime production. But it turned out it was not that bad, and it was actually go-go. 1950s, 1960s, the stock market went in two directions, up and way up, until 1972, your $10,000 had become $1,231,000. And what did you hear people say, right? ooh, is it too late to get in? Yeah, it's too late to get in, because then came Watergate and the first gas crisis, and all kinds of things were going on. But most importantly, the 1970s were a difficult time because of the baby boom generation coming of age. And in 2 years, your $1,200,000 had become $840,000. A brutal bear market. And these guys actually held up better than the market as a whole. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get out? When you hear people say that, yes, the answer is invariably yes. Now's the time to be investing. But who wants to invest when you see yourself or your neighbors or your buddy losing a ton of money? Nobody. But yeah, that's what investing is like, folks. Yeah. So, but no, you stuck out, you held on, and sure enough, 2 years later, you see, bear markets don't usually last that long. 2 years later, you're back up to 1.1 million, 1.45, 1.5 million. Right. This is what investing is like. It's a roller coaster. So we have to be patient. We have to take a long-term perspective. And when we hear people say, ooh, is it too late to get in? Realize, okay, it's going to go down. And when you hear people say, oh, is it too late to get out? That's when, hey, let's get some extra money. Let's put it in. And sure enough, after the 1970s, the 1980s were characterized by globalization, new technologies, the fall, finally, of communism. And the markets went in two directions, up and way up. And so by 1999, you had $47 million. Your $10,000 has become $47 million. And what did you hear? This was the internet bubble. This was the dot-com revolution. Ooh, is it too late to get in? Yeah, it's too late to get in. 2 years later, again, these guys held up better than the market as a whole, but still, it was a very brutal time. And 38 million. So your 49 million, 45, 46 million became 38 million, but you didn't run, you didn't hide, started coming back in 2003, and then the dot-com bubble was replaced with the housing bubble, and by 2007, we had 70 million, and then in 2008, we had 46 million. It was a tough, very tough time. Some of you were very young at the time, but hey, it was don't get me wrong, folks. It's not fun to lose money. And everyone will tell you, at least as people tell me, I feel the same way. It feels like somebody punches you in the gut when you see your 10,000 become 6,000 or your 100,000 become 60,000 or your 1,000 become 500 or whatever. It's going to happen. But if the world doesn't end, you know, capitalism might be the worst possible economic system ever devised, except for all the others. And so we held on. And by the year 2021, we had 246 million. Oh my goodness. From 2008, when people thought the world was going to end, till 2021, we went from 46 to 246 million. Just unbelievable, right? But then 2022 was a bit of a knock on the chin, and we went, dropped about 40 million. The numbers just get so ridiculous. It's exponential growth. And sure enough, as long as we did not panic and held on, as of June 30th, this is how far it goes up to June 30th, the last quarter available, our $10,000 over 89 and a half years has become almost $241 million at an average annual rate of almost 12%. Now, if you remember back in chapter one, we said if we invest in stocks, and what this is, this investment, we talk about this investment in another presentation. This guy invests mostly in large companies based in the United States, growth and income, it's called. You're going to read all about that. and look all about that. We said if we get 8, 9, 10%, yippee! We're excited. These guys have done almost 12. Over 89 and a half years. Now, am I trying to sell you ICA, Investment Company of America? No, I just use it. We said we're using it, as we said, because of its longevity and because it's a good mutual fund. But there are many others. Make sure you've gone through the presentation. You'll see there are many other mutual funds. Some have done better than ICA. You know, you can do a whole lot worse. There are some that have done a whole lot worse. But we show you this because of its longevity and because it has done well. And you're going to see other presentations. I know you're probably thinking, I don't have 89-year time frame. I don't want to wait 89 years. Some of you young folks probably. But no, we're going to show you 30 years and 40 years. And you'll see that, yeah, the news is good. If you're young, you start investing consistently, prudently, with an eye toward long-term growth of investments, growth and income. And so here is the graph. Now, the graph is a little hard to fit on one page here. But you notice it's an exponential graph as opposed to the logarithmic graphs that we saw in chapter one. Right. The logarithmic graph would look more like a line. It would look, because that's what logarithmic graphs are used for, to make exponential growth look like a line. But you see, these are units going up arithmetically. And because of that, you don't really see any change for, you know, since 1934 till the 1980s, till you start to actually see some, even though there were some serious drops and rises in those times. And then we start to see that wee exponential curve growing to the sky. But is it a straight line? Does it always go up? No, 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 no. And then finally, my last no, hang on a minute. No. 2021 to 2022. Yeah, so that's what investing is like, folks. But now, as we said, do you have an 89-year time horizon? No, no, no. So we want you now to switch on over to the other presentation, which shows you what would you have done, how you would have done with 30 years, $100 a month, 40 years, $100 a month, and then 40 years by increasing that $100 to $110 a month after a year, and then 120, 130, you know, get a raise, put a little bit more in, two fewer trips to $5. Well, actually, it's not $5 anymore. It's like $8 or $9, right? Starbucks, I'm sorry. And then what happens is the people who are in their later 40s and 50s and go, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago? Then we're going to show you, if you only have 20 years to invest, that's a little bit of a problem. We'll see what happens. You don't have time on your side. Cool? We hope this has been illustrative, this hypothetical illustration. And again, I'm not trying to just say, hey, ICA is the one to invest in. No, I'm showing you this because of its longevity. So take a look at the other illustrations where we show you 30 years, 40 years, and then 20 years. See ya.